Okay, now we come to a pasuk which is really fundamental to the whole Megillah. In fact, the whole reason everything took place in Shushan Abir, Chazal tell us, is because of this next pasuk, and it teaches us a lot of lessons. So let's see the pasuk, and then we'll see what's difficult about it, and we'll see what we can learn from it. The pasuk says like this: Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan Abira. There was a Jewish man. Teaching it just simple at first, who lived in Shushan Abir Ushmai, and his name was Mordechai ben Yair, the son of Yair, ben Shimi, the son of Shimi, ben Kish, the son of Kish, Ish Yemini, a man of the right. Doesn't mean in the political sense that he was on the right, although very likely he was. It means Ish Yemini from Binyamin, who was called Ben Yamin. So, the first and most obvious question is, what is an Ish Yehudi? Yehudi, he was a Jew. What's an Ish Yehudi? And if we're already saying he's an Ish Yehudi, then why is he also called an Ish Yemini? Is he an Ish Yehudi or an Ish Yemini? Or are they two separate things with no contradiction between them? And finally, why does it give his Yichus more than just his father? Normally we just say, Shmai Mordechai ben Yair. It was Ben Shimi, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. And why not stop? And why stop there? If we're going to go all the way back, let's go all the way back to Binyamin himself, or maybe Yaakov Avinu, and whoever else might have been in between. So Chazal say an interesting thing over here. We'll start with the Ish Yehudi and the Ish Yemini part. No, you know, we'll start with the Yichus. It says like this. Mordechai was Ben Yair, the son of Yair. Ben Sheheir, Eini Yisrael B'Tvila. The son who lit up the eyes, Yair from the word Heir, to light something up. He lit up the eyes of Bnei Yisrael with Tvila. Okay, cute, nice. Then it says Ben Shimi, the son of Shimi, Sei Chazal. The reason why it's brought in the Pasuk, his name might have been Shimi, but the reason why it's brought in the Pasuk is from the word, from the Lashon Shmia, to hear. Ben Shashama, I think it possibly, the Chazal say, Hashem as Tfilosai. Then it says, Ben Kish, again, who is Kish? Ben Shehikish, Aldal say Tfila. The son who, Hikish, he banged, he made noise, he banged on the doors of Tfila. So we see, obviously, Chazal is trying to emphasize over here the Indian of Tfila, and somehow they're applying it to these names. And each one is a separate thing. He lit up their eyes. He heard. He hikish. He made heard, not heard. So what's going on here? So they explain like this. The Gaon explains. It's obvious from the Gemara, but the Gaon takes it a little bit further. And he says that Mordechai's maila, specific maila, was tefillah. More than any other maila. Of course, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was on the Sanhedrin. He was brilliant. It was Ptachia. He was a very great man. But his greatness was miyuchad to tefillah. And he says, explains like this, that is, let's say even in nowadays, you know, we have all kinds of gedolim, and they're all great in many different ways. They're great in learning, and they're great in davening, and they're great in chesed, and all these things, generally speaking. But each one has his tchum, has his specialization, like l'havdil, a doctor. You can have a doctor who's gone through 15 years of training, but at the end he's a specialist in a particular area of medicine. In Torah, it's similar. He can be great in all things, but what's his specialty? Let's say, you can say in a sense, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's specialty is Bekiyas, and Rabbi Yasher's specialty was Halacha, and Reb Shlomo Zalman's specialty was being nice to people. And again, not to take away from any aspect of them in any other sense. But this is what they specialize in. And Baron Cutler was a Gevaldig Lamdin, and Shimon Shkop was a Lamdin and an Amkin, and all these things. So it says the Gaon like this, that a person is given four senses, he calls it. It's not the typical five senses that we talk about. It's four senses in the head, in the reish of a person. A person's head contains eyes, which is the seeing sense, and ears, which allow a person to hear, and the mouth, which allows them to speak, and a nose, which allows them to detect odors, to smell. Says the Gaon that the first three, eyes, ears, and mouth, are miyuchad, they are meant to be used. Their purpose in the world is limud haTorah. How so? Person starts when he's very young with his ears. The first thing he does is he hears. He's not able to learn by himself. He can't read a sefer, but he can hear from a teacher, from a rebbe, from a parent. He's able to hear Torah. That's the chush hashmiya. That's the hearing sense. The next thing is he progresses to a level where he can see the words of Torah. He can read. He was able to see before, but he couldn't understand what he was reading. Without even having a rebbe, he can take a sefer and learn something inside a sefer, and that's the using the sense of sight for Torah. And the last one is the chush ha-dibur, the ability to speak, which obviously only comes, a person can only speak Torah after he has knowledge, which he has obtained either by hearing Torah or by reading it himself. And b'chlal, another, to be someone who teaches Torah, who gives it over to others, you have to be on some kind of a level. It's not, you can't just start teaching Torah when you don't know very much. So those three senses in that order are Torah-dika senses. The fourth sense, the sense of smell, does not relate in particular to Torah. It relates to tefillah. It's shayach to tefillah. We're going to go through a couple of examples of how specifically smell relates to tefillah. What's the connection between the two things? In one sense, you can say that smell is very ephemeral. It's a little bit hard to get a hold of. With something you see, you can see. You can turn away from it and turn back and still see it again in the same way, in the same place. Hearing is very clear. Smell is interesting. It's less tangible. You can walk into a room and smell something, and then a minute later, you're like searching for the smell. Like, what happened? Where'd it go? Right? It's not something that you can hold on to. You can't get a grip on it. Similar to tefillah, right? It's a little bit more difficult to get a hold of, and even sometimes you're davening well, and the next thing you know, you're spacing out somewhere. You're not there. To hold on to it, it's less tangible than limud haTorah. Also, tefillah, very interesting, is that you can't really daven unless you believe in Hashem, unless you know you're davening to someone. In fact, you may not be yaitza. The guy says you're not yaitza. Tefillah, if you don't, at the very minimum, know that you're davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. If the person doesn't believe in Hashem, you can't daven. But you can learn Torah without believing in Hashem. And maybe it's missing some of its effectiveness and some of its greatness, and etc. You're not going to come to maybe proper understanding of Torah that way, but you can learn it. Tefillah, if you don't know who's in front of you and who you're davening to, what are you doing? You're just not mumbling words. You're muttering words. There's no point of it. Right? So another area of tefillah, which is called zechronos, memories, bringing back. Right? We talk about in Rosh Hashanah, which is to bring up the memory that Hashem should think about why He created us, why He created the world, all of the things that we've done in the past. And that's a very integral part of tefillah. Right? Hashem should remember the schus of our avos, even though they're not here anymore. They're long gone. But we daven, the first part of our Shemoneh Esrei is remember our forefathers. It's interesting that smell triggers memories more than any other sense. You walk into somewhere, you get a smell, it can take you 40 years back, immediately to where you weren't exactly what you were thinking. There's a smell that can, even if it's not a bad smell, but you can associate it with something negative and it puts you in a bad mood or make you nauseous or lahefich, make you feel great even though it's not such a great smell. Scientifically, they've shown it's because in the brain, these two things are adjacent to each other. The area which identifies smell and the area of memory. Now, why is it that way in the brain? It's not by accident. It's because in Hashem's world, they're adjacent. Smell relates to tefillah. Now, that's the couple of, we call them ancillary reasons. The real main reason, if you want to understand what smell, the sense of smell, has to do with tefillah, is as follows, that we have a neshama. We believe that a person is created with a soul, and the soul is a part of Hashem. How do we get that neshama? Hashem, the pasuk says that Hashem breathed it into our nose. V'yipach ba'apav of nishmat chayim. In fact, in Hebrew, it's called the neshima. Every time you breathe, you're doing a neshima, which is a re-enhancement of your neshama. It's the same idea. Hashem breathed himself into us, and every time you take a breath, it restores your life because you're bringing Hashem into yourself again. Tefillah is a reconnection to Hashem. That's how we connect to Hashem more than any other way. It's a dveikus Hashem. That's why Hashem wants us to daven. He wants us to connect to Him. We give Him our essence. We give Him back our neshama. He gave us a neshama. We take our neshama and we give it back to Him. That's the, it says, the Chazal say that tefillah b'li kavana is kaguf b'loi neshama. You're doing actions. But the kavana tefillah, the depth, the essence of tefillah is giving your neshama back. This is the imic of why people are in love. Kiss, it's the breath going into each other. You're breathing your own life into the other person. That's how CPR works. Equivalently, when we daven properly, or we bring a carbon, which is the equivalent, right? They're both called avodah. Carbon is the same thing as tefillah. Tefillah is in place of the karbonos. Uneshal meparim svasenu. So we bring it to Hashem. What is it called when Hashem receives that carbon from us? And as well, when He receives the tefillah from us, it's called a reyach nichayach. Isn't that amazing? It's as if Hashem is breathing it in, meaning that we're taking our neshama, we're not expelling it completely, but we're expressing it from our body, and we're bringing it back up to Hashem through the medium of tefillah, and Hashem brings it up, and He breathes it in. It's a reyach nichayach for Hashem, which is an amazing concept. That's the concept of reyach nichayach. The same reyach that Hashem blew into our nostrils, v'yipach ba'alp of nishmat chaim, we are giving back to Him, and He's taking it into Himself, and that's how we put our life back up to Hashem. We're giving Him our life, so to speak. And that's how we connect to Hashem. That's what the sense of smell is, and that's what a carbon, I'm not going to go more into it except to point out, obviously, that the greatest smell that was ever created was the smell of the Keteris, which is the highest form of carbon and the highest way of connecting to Hashem. Where is Mordechai Merum is in the Torah? Everybody knows, it says in the Pasuk, Mor Dror, which the Targum says, Mor Adachia, Mordechai. Could be, it's Targum and not Meforish in the Pasuk, because Mordechai was Ba'atzim, his quote-unquote secular name, could be. Right, that's from the Shemen HaMishcha. Sorry, did I say the Ketarius? The Shemen HaMishcha. It was used to prepare all the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, was this. Haman was also in there, he was the Chelbana, the negative smell. And the Keteris. What was Esther's name? She was Hadassah. She was a Hadas. A Hadas is, from all the four species that we take on Sukkot from the Arba Minim, it's the one which is specifically miyuad and taken for its smell. It has a lochik nafkaminas as far as what you're allowed to use it for in Yom Tov. And this is the Pshat in the Gemara. Mordechai was a very great man. He was a great Talmud Chacham. But his quote-unquote specialty was tefillah. He excelled in tefillah. Therefore, says the Goyin, says his name was Mordechai, ben Yair, ben Shimi, ben Kish. His greatness was the Mordechai, the Mordechai, was the Indian of smell, of reyach, of tefillah. And subsidiary to that were the other three milas. Yair is from the lighting up the eyes, the vision, the hearing. The speaking, all of those are in the Anum which are related to Torah. His Torah was sort of under the umbrella of Tefillah. That's why he mentions these three names, and that's why Chazal darshan it this way. Because it was to emphasize the Kayach HaTefillah. We all know that Purim is the day which is the greatest Kayach HaTefillah perhaps of the whole year. And it comes from this. Now, what's the Oymik? Why is Tefillah so important? And how does that relate specifically to Purim? The idea is like this. That what was happening during the time of Purim was that the people, Bnei Yisrael, were in Golos. The way Golos works, in very, very short taktir, very quickly to explain it, is that Hashem doesn't kick us into Golos. We put ourselves in Golos. And the way we do it is by turning ourselves away from Hashem. As we turn ourselves away from Hashem, Hashem reacts the same way. He turns away from us. Less as a punishment than, you could even call it politeness. We don't want him staring at us the whole day and being involved in our lives. So he steps aside. He doesn't force himself where he's not invited, where he's not wanted. And that's the idea of putting the Shechina into Golos, Shechinta Begalusa. At that point, we are essentially in Golos, even if we haven't yet been physically kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. But the fact that the Shechina and the Rabbanu Shalom are no longer in our lives, and he's not looking at us, it's what's called Hester upon him, the hiding of the face. He hides his face from us. Just like anybody, you get angry at your friend, and you don't want to look at them, so they won't look at you either, generally. You don't look, okay, it's Hester upon him. And that allows us to get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. It allows the Goyim to control us and to rule over us and to do bad things to the Bnei Yisrael. The solution for that, we'll talk about it more at a later point, but the solution for that is bringing Hashem back into our lives. Reconnecting to Hashem. Being Mizdabek LaHashem. And the way to do that is through Tefillah, more than through anything else, more than through Torah, more than through Tzedakah, more than through anything, is Tefillah. Because Tefillah is that recognition of Hashem, even when He seems not to be there. Think about it. If somebody walks into a room and sees, 50 people davening, and he never saw Tefillah in his life, he never heard of it. He walks into the room, and he sees a bunch of people talking, apparently to themselves. So what's he going to do? He's going to ask him and say, excuse me, who are you talking to? The guy says, what do you mean I'm talking to? I'm talking to God. He says, God, I don't see God. He says, yeah, but I see Him, or I feel Him. I know He's here. You can't daven if you don't know that you're davening to Hashem. It's almost pointless. But it's not just almost pointless. You need to be able to sort of identify Hashem and pull Him into your life in order to daven to Him. Because otherwise, He's talking out there. You don't see Him. It's difficult to just say, well, Hashem's here. What do you mean Hashem's there? Who says? In other words, tefillah represents this finding of Hashem and not allowing the Hestafanim to continue to say, no, I'm going to look at you, Hashem, and I'm going to find you in my life. I'm going to do a gila. I'm going to be megala you in my life. Megilas Esther means to be megala the Hester, to reveal the hidden. And that's the yisoid of Purim. And that was the greatness of Mordechai and Esther. And that's why both of them relate to the idea of smell, which, as the Gaon says, relates to tefillah. And different svarim talk about it. Also, shtachavu apayim orza, that our noses hit the ground. The nose specifically, because when a person is eating mishtachav and tefillah, it relates to the sense of smell and to the nose. So that's the idea of tefillah. Now, I'm going to stop over here and come back with another piece, just to break it up a little bit, to finish it off, unbelievable shtickle, with how this relates to the rest of the Megillah.